Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
Hey, good morning, Encounter Church. Great to be with you to share the Word of God. I just know that the Lord wants to encourage your faith. He wants you to know more about His love. He wants you to understand His plan for your life, and that plan is a good plan. And we may be in a difficult season, and we may all wish we were able to go do things that we can't right now, but that doesn't mean God is not working on our behalf, and He is orchestrating things to help bring about success in our lives, body, soul, and spirit. And this morning, I am wanting to share a message with you that I'm really excited about, because this was kind of surprising to me as I was praying about what God wanted me to share with you. He took me to the scripture in Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:1, and it says, "Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus." And I was like, great, I like that. I like talking about grace. I like talking about strength. And then God said, that's wonderful. Now, take that verse, Reese, and just put it aside for the moment. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to write down that verse, 2 Timothy 2:1, and just set it aside for a moment, because I want to talk to you about what the Lord told me to structure this message around. And it was the metaphor of running. In fact, the title of this message is Running to Win. And running to win comes out of one of Paul's letters to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. And it says there, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win." Now, when God told me to talk about running, for those of you who don't know, most of you do know this, that I ran for about 30 years, from my 20s up through my early 50s until I began to have some nagging injuries that sort of ended that particular recreational exercise for me. And since that time, I've put on some weight, and I still walk, and I still lift, and I still do things, but I'm just not as fit as I was back then. And so when God goes, "Hey, Reese, I want you to talk about running," my first reaction was this. I said, "Lord, have you seen me lately? Have you taken a look at my physique? I don't exactly look like, you know, a cover model for Runner's World." And he said something to me that I thought was kind of interesting. He said, "Reese, you may not be a runner anymore, but you can still be a coach." And so what I want to do this morning is I want to help coach you through how running can bring a revelation to you of how you can build your faith and be stronger during this entire season that we are all doing things differently. So my exhortation to you is this: don't let the enemy take your victory from you. Run to win. So I want to talk now about running. When I was in my 20s is really when I started to run, and I would run for, you know, 25 to 45 minutes, about 3 to 5 miles, and I was pretty faithful with it. I do it about 3 days a week. And during that season of learning to run, I discovered something, that anytime I started to set out for a jog, I knew that the very first 10 minutes, the first mile almost of my jog was going to be the hardest, particularly if I was doing it in the morning, because, you know, your body's not used to moving, you're not warmed up, things hurt. In fact, there would be these little nagging pains that would come up. I'd start running and my left ankle would hurt. And so I'd have to run through that and then it would quit hurting, and my right foot would hurt. And then I'd have to run a little bit and it would quit hurting, and my back would start to hurt. And there were all these little kind of like starter pains. But if I would just stick with it, somewhere around 10 minutes into a run, I would be able to strike a rhythm that was, you know, if it wasn't pain-free, it was at least comfortable. And that's what I want to tell you about. March was our first mile. March was our warm-up. During this whole COVID shutdown, you know, we started to have to do some things that we've never done before. We had to change our routines. We had to, you know, change how we worked. We're now working from home. The kids are home with us while we're working. That's a new thing. Our spouses are home. I mean, we're used to kind of leaving our spouse, and suddenly, you know, we're spending 24 hours a day with them. And the kids can't play with the neighbors. You can't send them outside. Go to the neighbor's house and, you know, tear up their stuff. We here at the church had to stop doing live services. You can't go out to eat. Did you know that I think I ate out almost every Sunday for 30 years of my life? I mean, I'm from the South, people. That's what you do. On Sunday, you go to church, you go out to eat, you go home and get a nap. And suddenly, you know, that routine was totally turned over. But as we got through March and into the first few weeks of April, we began to hit a routine. we began to realize, okay, that we got the kinks worked out, and we're starting to at least, if not enjoy this, at least we know how we can get it done. And I do want to just encourage you, if you haven't found your rhythm yet, if you're still in your warm-up phase, how can I say this? Keep going. I promise you that with God's help, it will smooth out. I'm not saying that it's going to get easy, but it is going to get easier. So that's our warm-up mile. That was March into the first week or so of April. But about mid-April, something happens. And what happens is what happens to anybody who runs in Colorado. I first started running when I was in Kansas. If you don't know this, there's a big difference between Kansas and Colorado. Kansas is flat. Colorado isn't. And so if you go out for a run, unless you're really particular about what course you pick, and you're running in Colorado, eventually you're going to hit a hill. And April, I believe, metaphorically speaking, we began to hit our very first hill. Now, let me explain to you a little bit about hill running. When you come up to a hill and you're jogging and you've warmed up and things are going okay and you hit that first hill, you really don't do anything different than you did before. You're still, putting one foot in front of the other. You're still out, getting your arm swing. You got your iPhones in or whatever you're doing. But what you're doing becomes harder. Again, it's more difficult. And when that happens, you just slow down and it begins to hurt more. And that's what I believe happened to many of us during the month of April. We got a little more tired. We got a little less patience. For some of us, we began to argue a little more with our kids and our spouses. And, the news made us angry. You turn on the news and you keep, hey, is it going to be different today? Well, no, it's pretty much the same thing as it was yesterday. For me personally, I just to be transparent, the last couple of weeks, I stopped sleeping as well. I found out that I would, wake up in the middle of the night, and I wasn't sure why. I was walking one morning and I said, God, why do I feel so nervous? Why am I under such tension here? I don't understand. Because honestly, what have I got to fear? I mean, really, there's nothing to fear. Our house is secure. We've got plenty of food. We got money in the bank. Sarah and I have been savers for a long time. We're not under a lot of stress now. My kids are healthy. But there was just this anxiety. There was this tension. And I think part of it was we had just been doing everything smoothly, sort of, but something happened in April. We hit this spiritual hill. And when you hit a hill in the natural and you're running, what you have to do to get up that hill successfully is you have to focus on the fundamentals. I remember when I was running and I wanted to run the Boulder, and I've run it several times. But in order to run the Boulder, you have to run a qualifying race first. And there was a qualifying 10K that was being run out on the Highland Canal, and right off the Highland Canal. And I went out on a Saturday to run this race, and there was another pastor there that I knew casually, and he was running the same qualifying race. And he's a nice guy. Trust me, he's a nice guy. However, he's about 5 inches taller than me. Even when I was running, he was thinner than me. He had a much more graceful, fluid stride than me. I mean, I could run pretty well, but I never looked good doing it. I had this kind of a thunk, 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 more of a Clydesdale than a thoroughbred, to be perfectly honest. But he didn't. He had that thoroughbred kind of grace to him. And he said, "Hey, Reese, how you doing?" I said, "I'm doing great. You going to run this race?" I said, "I am." He said, "Well, I'll see you at the end," meaning that he was going to be ahead of me. And it kind of ticked me off a little. I thought, "Well, I'll see you at the end. I'll smoke you," is what I'll do. But we get in this race, and he takes off, and he's way ahead of me, and I'm running, and about the 4 mile mark, a 10K is about 6 miles. We hit a hill that I knew was coming up. And as we turned around and hit the hill, and I saw him hit this hill, I knew that he did not know how to run hills. And I knew that I did. And so I remember kind of getting in the left lane and kind of powering on up, because what I would do when I was running hills is I would begin to count in my head. I would block everything out, and I'd count 1, 2, 3, 1. 1, 2, 3, 2, 1, 2, 3, 3. And I'd do that till I got to 100. And if I wasn't at the top of the hill, I'd start over again and go back from 1 to 100. But I would keep my pace. I would keep my footfalls even. And honestly, it's a great way to get up a hill. And I would get up to the top of the hill. And I remember going around him about halfway up. And I said, excuse me, passing on the left. And he said, sure thing. And I never saw him again. Smoked him totally, beat him by 4 minutes. Not that I'm bragging, just saying that I did, all right? And that's what happens to us in a hill. We need to go back to the fundamentals. If you're finding it's harder this week to do what you did last week, make sure that you're doing the things that'll help you get up this hill. Begin to invite God into your situation. Focus on helping others and not just feeling sorry for yourself. Make sure that you're reading your Bible. Say your confessions. Pray about what's frustrating you. I mean, even if it's a loved one. I mean, we can get frustrated at loved ones. We can say, hey, God, how come I'm mad at this person? Or how come this person's irritating me? Or why do I have to wear earbuds all day long because there's so much noise in my house? You know, those are the things. Encourage somebody else. I mean, that's one of the fundamental things we can do is just really help other people. You know, grab a mask and take a 30-minute walk. I cannot more strongly encourage you to take a 30-minute walk if you can every single day, because it really will clear your mind and spend that time, put on a sermon or play worship music or just talk to God. You know, it's incredible. These fundamentals will get you through this season. And you want to know something else? If March was our first mile warm-up and April has been our hill season, I believe that as we step into May, God is going to give a lot of us a second wind. Now, if you don't know anything about second wind, it's also called a runner's high. And I shared with you that in my 20s, I would run that 25 to 45 minutes, 3 to 5 miles. I'd get my stuff. And this is a true statement. I never experienced a runner's high during my 20s. And the reason was that I never ran long enough. And as I got into my 30s and into my later 30s, some older runners I knew said, Reese, you need to run longer. Take more time. See what happens. I think you'd really find that if you just go a little bit further, just keep with it, something really wonderful would happen. And so I tried it. I began to increase my distance from 5 to 6 to 7, eventually up to about 8 miles. And what would happen somewhere a little bit past 45 minutes, my body would experience a physiological transformation. My body would go into this state where it would release something called endorphins. And endorphins are really cool things. They're actually a natural narcotic that sort of numbs all the pain. And you kind of have this euphoric state. And running goes from being something to endure to being an actual pleasure. You know, as I began to learn that longer runs could be really enjoyable, I have tremendous memories of running through the mists in the woods in England when I was on a business there with Maryland, of running beaches in South Carolina, of doing trails around Colorado. And I think we're on the verge, if we will just gut through this hill time, get back to our fundamentals, of stepping into a moment when God is going to release a fresh anointing of joy on our lives. The circumstances aren't going to change. What's going to change is we're going to change from the inside. And I want to say it this way. In May, I believe there will be a second wind, a move of the Holy Spirit in our lives that will bring great joy. I don't think we're going to go back to pre-COVID normal in the next few weeks. I do think we're going to see some breakthroughs, and I'm in faith that we can begin to do, smaller meetings. And I am exercising my faith, and my confession is that we are getting back to normal. But I'm not saying we're going to be at normal in May. But what I am saying is that we're going to be doing things, and while we're doing it, we're going to find ourselves enjoying it and appreciating it and learning to value, this time apart, where before it was just a pain. There's this incredible psalm, Psalm 30, verse 11. And in that, the writer says this, "You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy." That is what I think the Holy Spirit is about to release into our church and into a lot of churches, an anointing of joy where we can just, we don't know why we're happy, where we maybe just, get up in the morning and instead of feeling all tired and wore out, we're getting up and it's like, hey, this is going to be a good day. Something good is going to happen to me. I'm going to, you know, I have an expectation. It's of something positive. You know, when you're in that running high state, what happens is you stop focusing on your feet and on your back and on your hands and on your breathing, and you begin to focus on what's around you. And it's an incredible time to connect with nature. It's an incredible time just to have a time with God. It's a wonderful place. And that's the season I believe we're about to step into. And I want to go one step further this morning. And I want to talk to you about what the summer is going to look like. I think it's important that we find our rhythm, that we get through that March warm-up phase. I think it's important that we acknowledge and recognize that we're going to run into some hills, and we just have to keep doing the fundamentals and keep powering up that hill. I think it's wonderful that we can experience that euphoric state of a runner's high, of a spiritual awakening when God turns our morning into joy. But there's another state in running that you can step into, and it's long-distance running. Now, I never ran further than about 8 miles till I got into my 40s. And in my 40s, I really felt an unction to want to try to do some longer races. I did like 4 half marathons and a full marathon. And I found that I could run 10 miles. And I could do things that I had never done before. In fact, I could run for 2 and, in fact, 3 hours at a time, which is really long. In my entire life, I never thought that I could do anything like that. But I found in my 40s that if I would just stay faithful and keep pressing on, you know, press past the runner's high, God would allow me to do things that I never thought I could do. And this summer, as we come to the end of May, and I say this with some hesitation because I don't like to claim prophetic things unless I really think it's prophetic, but I really do believe God wants me to encourage you that this summer we have some breakthroughs coming. We're going to find that the devil can't stop us. We're going to walk in a fresh awareness that we're blessed. I want you to say that right now with me. Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I am blessed. And because I am blessed, the devil cannot curse me, because nobody can curse what God has blessed. And yeah, maybe our business is struggling because we haven't been able to sell the way we used to sell. And maybe I haven't been able to make, you know, the sales if I'm on commission that I used to make. And maybe our family has had some tensions and dynamics. And maybe we haven't been able to see our grandparents, or we've had to help out some people that we really hadn't anticipated having to help out. And there's been all this stuff. But I believe as we break through from May, which is going to be our fresh anointing month, that's going to be our runner's high month, it's going to be our joy month, we're going to step into the summer and we're going to have breakthroughs. And God is going to do things that we're going to remember. God is going to do miracles that we're going to be able to tell our kids about, and our grandkids and our great-grandkids if He tarries that long. We're going to talk about the summer of 2020 and what it was that God did that was so amazing and so incredible. Which brings me back to 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You could personalize that verse. You could say, Reese, be strong in the grace that God gives you. Be strong. If you're struggling to find your rhythm, if you're still in your warm-up phase, there is grace for your first mile. Tap into it. If you're tired and just feel like you're climbing a hill and it's just getting steeper and steeper and harder, and you just keep having to do the same things and the same things and the same things, don't give up. There is a grace for climbing hills. Tap into it. If you need a second wind, hang on. By grace, I believe there is a second wind coming. And by grace, a breakthrough will be here soon. Encounter Church, children of God, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. We love you. If you need prayer for anything, just please reach out to us. You can call us, you can text us, you can email us. You can go to our website, ecdenver.org/prayer. If you need anything else, that's the best way to communicate with us. We love you. We believe in you. We know God is for you, and good things are ahead. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.